Hi. Welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and I am delighted to be with you today. We have a guest scheduled, but she apparently is not available right at the moment, so we have left information for her to call us, and just knowing how busy she is a CEO, so something probably came up with a meeting. But regardless, we're going to move forward, and I want you to know those telephone lines are open of 877-876-5227. I call this an hour of mind power because that's what it is. I like to share with you ideas and concepts and points of information that maybe you wouldn't have time to be able to read about or to hear about, but through this programming you can. And we feature all kinds of wonderful guests from all over the world.
Your guest just called, so we're going to get her on right now. We're going to come off the air, folks. We'll be back in a few seconds.
Oh, fabulous. Wonderful. Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and we have our guest, Carrie Broussard, and it's such a delight because it has been something I've been talking about. Carrie has a marvelous book called From Cinderella to CEO, How to Master the 10 Lessons of Fairy Tales to Transform Your Work Life. Carrie, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Donna. I really appreciate you having me on.
Well, it's a delight. Carrie, where are you located?
I am in Dallas, Texas, believe it or not, in hot Dallas, Texas right now.
Oh, well, I'm in the cool Northwest, so
I'm jealous.
Just make you feel uncomfortable with all your heat.
It's hot here.
I know. Dallas, Texas is just known for heat anyway.
Yes, it is. Absolutely.
Well, I wanted my audience to know a little bit about you, Carrie. You're nationally known for your work in bringing women's groups together and uniting them to share a common focus. You're one of many women who are a top advocate for women in diversity in business, and you've created an organization, which you'll be able to share some information about later on, Women on Their Way, and this has to deal with travel industry, which is so fascinating because that's an industry that a lot of people said was just going to go by the wayside, but you've made it work. You speak all over the country. You're involved with a passion for business. Carrie, now I know you weren't Cinderella.
I think everybody feels like they've been Cinderella at one point, the one that's been the downtrodden one. You know,
you're talking
the one
about
that's been the ash girl, servant girl.
Okay, yeah, right. Dealing with the ashes in the fireplace,
right.
Cleaning the toilets. Okay, most of us would qualify for that.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Some men too.
Absolutely. Now, why was this important to you? To put this information out, because you've taken a different twist.
Mm-hmm.
You're using fairy tales throughout your book, which may, in some people's mind, sound sort of childlike, but you have purpose with this. Why did you choose this venue?
Well, good question, because in historical context, fairy tales, literally from the beginning, were passed from adult to adult. They were adult stories to share folklore among different families, different people who lived in Europe, typically.
Mm-hmm.
And so they originally were for adults, and the stories have been passed down from cultures, within cultures and from generation to generation, and they tell stories that have moral meanings to them. And in particular, what I wanted to do was to have a way, especially for women, for them to be able to, when they're in a work situation that might be stressful or they don't have the answer at that point in time, if they read these reworked fairy tales and the lessons that have, again, been passed down, that if you do the right thing, if you keep your eye on the palace, if you are don't seek revenge, you know, basically the stories that you hear, everything from Hansel and Gretel to Cinderella to the Ugly Duckling, those stories and lessons can be applied easily to your work life, and they're easy to remember. That's what I love about them, is that most of us have read many self-help books, and sometimes you don't really remember what you read in them, but
mm-hmm.
everybody remembers fairy tales. And also, I think it's almost a new way to substitute for the sports metaphors. You know, we've all, in the workforce, always used the sports metaphors, as hit it out of the ballpark, you know, reach the goal line. And if you think of fairy tale stories that, you know, Cinderella reaches the palace because she has a fairy god mentor, or Hansel and Gretel find their way out of the woods because they have good contacts along the way, i.e. the little pebbles. You know, little things like that, are, they, one, make it more fun to have these lessons applied because they don't seem so heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And then, two, they really can be applied, you know, and help you in your work world and in your life in general.
All right. You need to tell us your Cinderella to CEO story.
Okay. Well, the other, my story is maybe typical, maybe atypical, but I hope more typical as people hear about it. But my premise for the book also was to let the reader know that no matter what level of an organization you are in, no matter what position, to always think like a CEO, because that's the greatest path to becoming a CEO, but also being fulfilled in your job. And so what I was doing, I've had various career, you know, jobs, but I've had my own company, my own PR firm. I've worked for Majority Leader of the Senate, Howard Baker. At one time, I was his assistant press secretary. And then I ended up getting into the hotel industry or the hospitality industry, and I was always in the PR arena. But when I sort of not stumbled upon, but became energized about the opportunity to market to women travelers, nobody was doing that. This was about 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I was actually working hand-in-hand with the PR firm at the time, who was an outside PR firm, and we really had to go the mat, fight for this opportunity to market to women business travelers. And not only did the competition laugh at us and think it was a ridiculous idea, which is just sort of mind-boggling when you think back on it, but even internally, you know, within the company, it was not the most popular idea in the world. And so I just stuck with it. And I had always had a history of working with women's groups when I was at University of North Carolina. And when I went to all-girls schools growing up, I'm from a family of four girls and one boy, so the women always
mm-hmm.
outnumbered the men in my life. And, you know, women were always, their voices were heard, for sure. And so I saw it, you know, as a great opportunity. And Wyndham then began as a company to really, its culture changed. I began to become more of a leader in the marketing arena and within the company as a whole, because I took a risk to stay focused on this concept of marketing to women travelers. And it began to generate millions of dollars annually. Not only monthly, but on an annual basis, we could track it to a point where it was generating about $300 million a year. And so not only did Wyndham end up benefiting, I benefited because I really, you know, ended up just having a great career there. And then on top of that, it began to change the whole industry. And so other hotel companies began to take note. And now you have much more comfortable beds. You have better food. You have just a better hotel experience based on the fact that we began to listen to what women wanted and what women told us they wanted by noticing the details. It was a whole new set of eyes and ears. The industry became better. The hotel industry became better for men and women
yes.
and their families. So
mm-hmm.
it was a way to really just see, you know, especially over a 10-year period, how you can make a difference in a not only in your own work life, but in an industry and in your company, if you really stick to what you believe is the right thing to do, and while you're doing this, you know, you've got to be good with your coworkers along the way. You have to have mentors. I've had a Women on Their Way advisory board who each one of them served to me to be, ended up being great mentors for me. I could ask any one of them advice, not only about the company, what we should do, but, you know, maybe what I needed to do in certain situations. So,
well, Carrie, you've got a wonderful background, and your book, again, for those of you that are just tuning into the show today, the book is titled From Cinderella to CEO, How to Master the 10 Lessons of Fairy Tales to Transform Your Work Life. And as you could tell from what she said, she's got a lot in her background. But one of the aspects of the book that I think is so good that makes it unique is that in using the fairy tales and adapting them to the modern world, and we were talking about Cinderella. I want to bring up a point before we go into some of these stories.
Sure.
I want to bring up a point. We had a caller the other day who was out looking for work. And she is 57 years of age, and she may be listening to this program today.
Right.
And one of the things that comes up with women, especially as they're getting older, and I think we're so fortunate today because age is not the limitation it was.
Not like it was.
Right. But and it used to be terrible. I mean, once you were past 30, 33, you were dead in the water most of the time.
Right.
But today, women are developing new careers. What would you say to a woman that is wanting to get back into the workplace, who wants to be in an environment that's interesting to her, one that she can be a part of, can feel like she has the opportunity to sprout wings and fly as a mature woman? What would you say to that woman?
Well, I think she has to be open for change. You know, I think that's the number one, that meaning if she or he has done, you know, been a photographer all their life, let's say, I'm just picking that up, you know, but say she's been a photographer for 25 years and she wants to stay in photography, well, that is a tough field now because there's so much that people can do on their own in terms of photography. You can buy stock images, whatever. So she may have to look at, okay, what are her other talents? What are her other passions? And she may have to change fields. I think that's the number one issue, is you can't limit yourself when you come into that situation of, okay, well, all of a sudden the game may have changed, and the game has changed for, I don't care what age you are. You know, everything changes so fast that you've got to be open to changing industries and applying what you already know maybe to another industry. And a lot of people don't want to do that because they don't want to start over, and you can't blame them. And sometimes, you know, it's considering being, you know, what can we say, a consultant and having two or three different positions. And then interviewing people about their, if you can get in for informational interviews, and I think the best advice also that I've gotten from other people myself, and when we talk about this and discussions, is if there's not an open position, that doesn't mean that the door is closed. You can still call, let's say you know the CEO of a company that you'd like to work for, or maybe that CEO, if you just go in and talk to him or her, or maybe somebody in a position that knows people in other industries, just pick their brain and ask them. Don't expect them to do it for you. I think that's the key. Nobody's going to do it for you unless you show that you're a self-starter and a self-contributor. Then you're going to have a harder time than the other person. If you really want to do it, if you're kind of like, oh, my God, you know, I really don't want to work. And, you know, not everybody really wants to work, you know. But if you're, I think a lot of women are in situations where they don't feel like they've finished contributing and they want to keep on. And, it's networking. It's joining organizations that I list a bunch of them in the back of the book, probably 25. And those are great resources because the women who are involved in these organizations are all ages and they don't discriminate on age. And if you do feel like you're discriminated against age-wise, this is a, you know, find like-minded people who are also ambitious to do what you want to do similarly, whether they're the same age or not, but they don't have that barrier, they don't have those barriers in their minds, and see what they can do to help. How you can help each other, really. And I think it's amazing how you never know who has resources and contacts for you. But it takes guts. It takes a little risk. And
it does.
and being vulnerable and maybe lots of rejection, but, you know, keep on keeping on.
I think that the last word you mentioned, rejection,
mm-hmm.
is a tough one. And
yeah.
because so many times women have been taught that if they're rejected, there's something wrong with them.
Mm-hmm.
And there may not be anything wrong with
mm-hmm.
them. They may just find that it's a blessing that they haven't gotten a certain positioning, because if they had gotten into it, maybe they would have been locked into something they wouldn't have liked. But I think the key is the belief in yourself.
Yes.
And really feeling good about who you are. And when you get up to go to that interview, you don't put on blue jeans. You dress as attractively as you possibly can.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you go in and you're on stage. You
always struggle. You're right. Dress as if you are getting the position. You know,
yes.
That's the other part of it. And research how they dress at that company. You know, if you're coming in totally, you know, dressed to the nines, and maybe it's casual day that Friday, then yes, still dress up. You know, don't wear flip flops or don't wear,
mm-hmm.
you know, something that doesn't look very professional, but do sort of look at their culture. And I do, one of the things that you said I think is important to do, because everybody gets down in the dumps. It's just, I don't care who you are, unless you're superhuman. And if you can look back on awards that you've won or honors that you've won, different kudos you've gotten, letters maybe somebody's written you at a job, maybe a client's written you a thank you note, just keeping those notes and reviewing them either on your own or sometimes you want to show them to other people, but
mm-hmm.
that can also help you focus on what you're really good at, and also it can help build your esteem when you're having sort of those down days. And if you're having a down day, you know, the best thing to do is to get out and either do something like that, look back in your background of, hey, I'm really good at this, so, you know, I'm not going to let this get me down. And then to call somebody, you know,
mm-hmm.
call somebody who might get you forward versus you moving backwards. And I tell people, if you can just do one thing each day, you know, don't take on that big enchilada, you know, all at one time, and just move forward at a pace that at least is moving you forward, not moving you backwards.
Well, I like that attitude, because so often you'll get hype from different people. Make 100 calls a day.
Oh,
you're not going to make 100 calls a day. Give me a break.
Well, they're not going to be quality calls, that's for sure.
Right. And yeah. I think many times we need to have the vision. And I like what you say in your book, and I'm going to quote exactly
okay.
from it. And for my listeners who are just tuning in, From Cinderella to CEO is the title of the book that we're talking about this afternoon. Carrie J. Broussard is my guest. She's out of Dallas, and this is what one of the comments she makes. Equally important is vision. We all need to envision the end we have in mind, whether it's to create a new business opportunity or to cure cancer.
Mm-hmm.
If we can see it, we can make it happen.
Yeah.
And that sometimes, just from what you've said, it's so true. You get so down in the dumps, you get rejected, you think it's the end of the world, but there are a gazillion opportunities. And I think having a support group and a mentor, like you mentioned, is
mm-hmm.
so very, very important. You've given us some good ideas about going forward with mentors. Let's talk, you know, Cinderella, we've mentioned the clothes, we've gone into that. Let's talk about Snow White a little bit.
Okay.
And let's talk about how to survive a wicked boss.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites. And I also tell people, if you've ever been a boss, somebody's probably called you a wicked boss.
Oh, absolutely.
It kind of comes with the territory.
Mm-hmm.
And the way, you know, I think I give 7 steps, and I'll grab that right in front of me in a minute. But the bottom line there is the story of Snow White, everybody knows, is that, or most everybody remembers that, Snow White, you know, is cast out or running from the Wicked Witch, who's trying to poison her, and she stumbles into the 7 Dwarfs' house, and she ends up earning her keep there. She's not just brought in by the 7 Dwarfs because they think she's beautiful. They bring her in because she says, hey, if you let me live here, I can help you out. You know, I can do this while you all are
mm-hmm.
at work. And so she ends up earning the respect of, and I call it, you know, these these seven dwarves have her back. And basically, whenever the Wicked Witch tries to come in and poison or do something bad to Snow White, the seven dwarves help her out. And in the long run, it's not the prince who rescues her. What happens is, in actuality, in the original story, the piece of apple is actually when the seven dwarves are carrying her in her casket because she's asleep for 100 years, they stumble and Snow White falls out, partly falls out, and the apple pops out of her mouth. And then she awakens. So the prince actually, in most of these Cinderella, in most of these stories, these fairy tales, the prince is not who rescues the heroine. The heroine rescues herself. And when you're in a situation and you have an evil boss, and it also sort of, I use this analogy with Little Red Riding Hood. If you think about the fact that the wolf goes after Little Red Riding Hood when she is isolated, except when the woodcutter shows up, which I liken that to being the mentor, is the wolf will stay away. You know, the wolf mm-hmm. sees that, just like the seven dwarves were around Snow White, well, Little Red Riding Hood also had this woodcutter that shows up and kind of helps protect her because she had this situation. I call it, again, a mentor who gets you out of tough situations that sometimes you are naive about because you haven't been in that situation before. So if you're protecting yourself from these evil wolves, you can do everything from, one, I say, be a political animal. There's nothing wrong with paying attention to office politics. They just are there. So you've got to be keenly aware of these kinds of things. And, you know, you don't really want to go over your boss's head necessarily and tell that person that your boss has been evil if you don't have a really good reason and a really good backup plan. And what can help you with that is to surround yourself with supporters. Again, when the wolf first encounters Little Red Riding Hood, he resists the impulse to eat her right up because there are the woodcutters nearby. So the crafty wolf knows he must isolate his prey. And in the workplace, dangerous people will keep their distance if you have allies around. So remember, you know, it can be anyone from a peer to the support staff, administrative staff. You know, make sure you have good relationships, which you just mentioned too. These outside relationships with support groups are key. That you have outside contacts that either, one, if you're being you're in a situation where you're being laid off and you need to have outside contacts, that can also be key. If your evil boss is in a situation where, I call this basically, the evil boss will eventually self-destruct. Because what happens is the person who, can be mean-spirited or just really ends up not being someone who you respect as a boss, typically they are that way to other people too,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
blood spills. They end up tangling with the wrong person. They end up doing something that brings them down on their own. You don't have to be obsessed or compulsive about bringing that person down, because guess what? They're gonna do that for themselves.
Absolutely.
Now, if it's somebody, you've got to really evaluate whether are you being overly critical of somebody. When really and truly, it's you want to help your boss get ahead if you can, because your boss has an agenda too that he or she needs to make happen. And if you can help that boss get ahead, then yes, it's going to help you. Always make your boss look good, but don't be abused by your boss. I mean, that nobody needs to put up with that.
Now, my guest today is Carrie Broussard. Her wonderful book, From Cinderella to CEO. Now, we have two books to give away today. So if you would like to get a free copy of this book, I want you to call during this hour, 877-876-5227. And my engineer will be glad to take your name and information that we need so we can get this material to you. They very graciously offered two books, From Cinderella to CEO. And if you know somebody maybe that's getting ready to step up into the executive position in life that they've so earnestly worked for, this book gives you a lot of good tools
that enables you to look at things with a different perspective than maybe you got in business school, or perhaps some of your own experiences in life have taught you. So this is a different perspective, again, that you can utilize. Now, Carrie, do you have a website that people can go to? Because I know you offer all kinds of different programs.
Yes, I do. Thanks for asking, Donna. It is CinderellaCEO.com.
Cinderella, and that's CinderellaCEO.
And then CEO, the letters CEO.com.
CinderellaCEO.com. Now, I know we're coming close to the end of the interview. Carrie, you have dealt with people who are entrepreneurs, people that are not entrepreneurs.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
For my audience, those women that are listening, and even the men that are listening, because this goes in truth across the board.
Yes.
But I know that you really are very supportive of women. What words of wisdom would you want to leave with them today?
For women and men who are entrepreneurs or business people in general, I think, one, you know, you're much more effective collaborating with people in business. Do not burn bridges. It is so hard, and believe me, I put myself in this category. If you're in a situation where, we've all been there, where somebody has done something to you, at least in your mind you think they've done something to you, you know, really work on not burning that bridge. Sometimes people, you know, if you're high level, if you're Steven Spielberg, hey, I'm sure you can build a bridge and, you know, burn a bridge. But most of us aren't that high level. And probably Steven Spielberg wouldn't be where he is if he had burnt bridges.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really looking and emulating the people that you want to be like. It's passing on a compliment to somebody who you work with and telling them genuinely, hey, you did a great job, unsolicited, that can really, it's those small details that you take on a daily basis that can add up to help you really become so much more successful and so much more effective and happier if you're really thinking about, hey, what can I do to help somebody else? Because eventually it will come back to you and help you.
Absolutely true. Couldn't agree with you more.
And thank you for having me on your show.
Well, it has been absolutely wonderful. And again, for those of you who have been listening, the book is titled From Cinderella to CEO, How to Master the 10 Lessons of Fairy Tales to Transform Your Work Life. And believe me, there's excellent information in here. Carrie Broussard is my guest. And if you want a free book, we have two available, 877-876-5227. And again, Carrie's website is CinderellaCEO.com. Carrie, enjoy the heat.
Hey, thanks. Enjoy the cool weather. I'm jealous.
I am.
Okay, good. Thank you so much, Donna.
It's been a pleasure, Carrie.
And mine too. Thank you.
This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break in just a moment. When we come back, those phone lines are open if you want to chat with me or if you want a free book. 877-876-5227. We're all about lighting up your life with insight, and those phone lines are open. So don't go away. We're coming right back. Donna Sebo here. Don't go away. Hi, this is Donna Sebo, our Hour of Mind Power with the Donna Sebo Show. And again, if you'd like to get a free book, call 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Or if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, I'd be delighted to do that. Again, 877-876-5227. I got an email from a gentleman by the name of Les, and it's called Words of Yesterday. And by the way, if you'd like to email me with a comment about the show, or you want to get some more information, whatever, or if you have a special story to tell or a wonderful recipe, then just go ahead and email me at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphi, just like the Delphi Oracle, international.com. And then I'll respond to you. And sometimes, depending on the amount of material that I have in front of me, I may or may not be able to use what you have sent me, but I always will respond to you. So do give me that email buzz, if you will. Just send me a note to donna@delphiinternational.com, and I will get back to you. Also, I wanted to remind you that we are going to be changing the time of this program. It is going to be moving as of July 1st to the 11 o'clock hour in the morning, obviously, here on the West Coast. So that'll make it different. If you're on Central Time, then that means 1 o'clock your time Central or 2 o'clock East Coast. So again, the Donna Sebo Show is going to be shifting to 11 a.m. on July 1st. So I want to be sure to let you know of that, plenty of advance notice, so you can mark your timer wherever it is during the day and just tune in to bbsradio.com. You can listen to good music and also good programming. And I hope you'll tune into my show. And, of course, we'll let you know about the guests coming up, too. Well, this is what Les sent me. He said, words of yesterday, and for people that were born in years of the past, here's what he said he came across. This phrase, he said, it was in a book yesterday, Fender skirts, and he sent along a photo of what Fender skirts were. I had no clue what they were. Well, what they are actually pieces of metal that used to be put on cars to keep the cars from getting all muddy and crummy from the dirty roads. Now, he said a term he hadn't heard in a long time, and when he was thinking about fender skirts, it started him thinking about other words that quietly disappeared from our language with hardly a notice, like curb feelers. They used to have those on automobiles, apparently, and they would tell you they would scrape against the curb. That's why they were called curb feelers, so that you would know when you were close to the curb. And also, they had steering knobs. I can remember an uncle of mine, when I was a little girl, he had that on his steering wheel. And this guy, Les, he said, since I've been thinking of cars, my mind naturally went that direction first. And he said, any kids will probably have to find some elderly person over 50, elderly over 50, to explain some of these terms to you. Any kid that's walking around, if you're 25 or 30, they think you're old. Okay, this is what he had. He said, remember Continental kits? He said they were rear bumper extenders and spare tire covers that were supposed to make any car as cool as a Lincoln Continental. And he said, when did we quit calling them emergency brakes? At some point, parking brake became the proper term. But he said, I miss the hint of drama that went with emergency brake. He said, I'm sad, too, that almost all the old folks are gone who would call the accelerator the foot feed. Have you ever heard of that? I hadn't. He said, don't you ever wait at the street for your daddy to come home so you can ride the running board up to the house? Well, that is speaking of things way past in time, isn't it? And he said, here's a phrase I heard all the time in my youth, but never anymore, store-bought. He said, of course, just about everything today is store-bought, but once it was bragging material to have a store-bought dress or a store-bought bag of candy. Think of the program Little House on the Prairie. It really is a very good example, and when you think about it, it wasn't all that long ago. Coast to coast, well, it's a phrase that once held all sorts of excitement and now means almost nothing. Now we take the word worldwide for granted, and he said it just amazes him. He said, on a smaller scale, wall-to-wall was once a magical term in our homes. He said, in the 50s, everyone covered his or her hardwood floors with, wow, wall-to-wall carpeting. Today, everybody's replacing their wall-to-wall carpeting with hardwood floors. He said, go figure that one out. Well, you know, it's a cycle. It goes around. And he said, when's the last time you heard the quaint phrase in a family way? It's hard to imagine the word pregnant was once considered a little too graphic, a little too clinical for use in polite company. So we had all that talk about stork visits and being in a family way or simply expecting. And he brings up the word brassiere as a word no longer in usage. He said, I said it the other day and my granddaughter cracked up. He said, I guess it's now just bra, unmentionables, probably wouldn't be understood at all. And he said, I always loved going to the picture show, but I considered movie an affectation. He said, most of these words go back to the 50s, but here's a pure 60 word that I came across the other day, rat think. He said, oh, in my day, that was a nasty put down. And he said, here's another word I miss, percolator. And that was just a fun word to say. And what was it replaced with? Coffee maker. How dull. Mr. Coffee, I blame you for this. Les said, I miss those made-up marketing words that were meant to sound so modern and now sound so retro. Words like Dynaflow and Electrolux introducing the 1963 Admiral TV, now with Spectravision. He said, food for thought. Was there a telethon that wiped out lumbago? Nobody complains of that anymore. Maybe that's what castor oil cured, because I never hear mothers threatening kids with castor oil anymore. He said, some words aren't gone, but are definitely on the endangered list. The one that grieves me most is supper. Now everybody says dinner. Dinner is at noon. Save a great word. Invite somebody to supper. Discuss fender skirts. He said, someone forwarded this to me, and I thought some of us of a certain age would remember most of these just for fun. Pass it along to others of a certain age bracket. So for those of you that have memories of some of that vocabulary, for the younger generation that might be listening, you go, oh, Donna, give me a break. Well, don't worry about it. It's just having some fun. Unless I appreciate your sending that to me, because I thought it was really cute. And, you know, words do change. We have so many things that if you are a lover of words, if etymology is really something that grabs you and fascinates you, you would just absolutely love finding old dictionaries, because there are so many words that at one time, maybe just 100 years ago, would have had a specific meaning, and today they don't have that meaning at all. It's just entirely different. And it's so interesting when you have people of different age levels talking about words, and they'll talk about the words that belong to their generation. And so many times the older generation will say, oh, I don't understand what the younger kids are saying. Trust me, every older generation goes through that, because there's always new language being developed. Always. So don't ever feel badly. Just say, I haven't heard that one before. What does it mean? And you'll get an education. Believe me, it's absolutely marvelous. Life doesn't stand still for anybody. Give me a call if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. 877-876-5227 is the number to call in to, 877-876-5227. Are you aware that bees can recognize human faces? I didn't know that. Who would have thought a bee had any kind of a memory? Well, there's a group of scientists that found that in training honeybees with a sugar water reward, 2 days later, some of the insects could still pick out a specific photo from a lineup. Now, who would have thought to use a lineup to evaluate the intelligence of bees? Well, what can I tell you? But they do it. There's a lot of things in nature we assume we know everything about. But those bees just realize if they know where to find flowers, why wouldn't they be able to remember a face? Don't underestimate them. It's just like ants. Don't ever underestimate those amazing critters. Now, here's some information about Taipei. The world's tallest building is in Taipei, and they're concerned that it is so heavy that it's going to trigger earthquakes. There's a paper that was published in the Geophysical Research Letters that has made a statement that the 132-ton structure, the 132-ton structure as a factor in two tremors that have hit Taipei in 2004 and 2005. Fascinating consideration, isn't it? You would never have thought something like that could affect it, but nature has her own way of working with things. Also, there are so many other points, one that I came across that I had to chuckle about, and this is about Harry Potter. Now, there's a lot of people out there that just think the Harry Potter books are just terrible, terrible things. I think they're great, and I've loved the movies. Now, Harry Potter, they think it keeps kids out of trouble. Why? They found that emergency room visits declined by more than 40% during the weekends that the last two books in the series launched. This was in Britain. So, good reading, good movies, keeps kids out of trouble. So that's just something to tuck away. Donna Sebo here, 877-876-5227. Now, I do know we're going to be going to a break in just a moment. The telephone lines are open if you'd like a free book or if you'd like to chat with me, whichever you'd like to do. Again, 877-876-5227. Now, here's what is coming up tomorrow and for the rest of this week. We're going to be talking to Clifford J. Fazzolari. This gentleman, wonderful father. And Father's Day is coming up on the 18th, and I just absolutely am delighted that I'm going to be able to have him on the air, because he's going to be talking about his little boy. And his story is a very special one. It's called Counting on a Miracle. And then on Friday, we're going to have Dr. Jeanette Freeman. And if you have ever asked the question, why is this happening to me again? Has that ever crossed your lips, an expression? Well, we're going to find out from Dr. Jeanette how you can deal with issues like that. She's just delightful. Then next week, we're going to be talking about a number of different things. One, we're going to be talking about alcoholism. We're going to be talking about Lois Wilson, who was the wife of Bill, who founded Alcoholics Anonymous. This is one of the most wonderful stories that you could ever want to hear about. And Bill Brochert is going to be sharing that with us. He knew her personally. So this is really a phenomenal story. Then we're going to be talking to Larry Ackerman about the identity code. Sound mysterious? Well, you'll have to tune in to find out about it. And then Gary Schwartz is going to be on next week. We're going to be talking about truth about mediums. This is a man who's done research into the paranormal. He's going to be my guest. Then Christina Baldwin, who is a consummate storyteller and author. We're going to be talking about Story Catcher. And then Bill Goss, who is a man that I've had the privilege of interviewing before. He is a phenomenal, phenomenal individual who survived just an operation that you would never imagine anybody could survive, all because of a little squirrel. And the title of his publication is There's a Squirrel in My Coffee. It is heartwarming. It's wonderful. We have great people on this show, and it's such a delight to bring them to you. And we're going to be taking a break now. Don't you go away, because when we come back, phone lines are open if you want to chat, but also I've got some good stuff to share with you, including, if we have the time, a banana brown sundae recipe. All perfect for summer. Don't go away. Hi, this is Donna Sebo with the Hour of Mind Power, and I'm so delighted you're able to join me. Now, I do have a banana brownie sundae recipe, and I've got to share this with you. By the way, in my newsletter, I have a recipe for mustard-rubbed London broil that you can fix with a broiler or out on the grill. So be sure you go in and check out my newsletter. Go into my website, DelphiInternational.com, DelphiInternational.com. Go over to the left side of the homepage, touch on that button with newsletter, and you'll see the latest newsletter up, and you can get that recipe. But let's talk about some sundaes, ice cream sundaes. Oh, when the weather gets warm, there's nothing like them. They're just delicious. But if you're wanting to do something special for a dinner, or just maybe sitting out in the patio and having something really yummy and scrumptious, this is what you can do with some brownies. Now, you can buy prepared mini brownies, or you can just make them up. You don't have to serve huge portions of this either. All you're going to need is some caramel sundae topping, and you're going to need about 3/4 cup of that from the store. You're going to need 1/2 cup of chopped pecans, or if you prefer walnuts or almonds, whatever nuts you like, macadamia nuts, who cares? Use whatever's your favorite, 1/2 cup of chopped nuts. And then you're going to want to have your brownies, and you can get them prepared where they're in 11-ounce packages and whatever. You can even get low-fat brownies. Whatever you want to do, it's fine. And then you're going to need 2 bananas sliced, 1 pint of vanilla ice cream, and you might want to have 2 cups of thawed frozen whipped topping, or if you are a whipped cream fanatic, get one of those. Make your own or get one of those cans and just have a blast. Let the kids have at it. And then you're going to need 6 maraschino cherries. Now, this will serve 6 people. What you want to do, you want to mix together your caramel topping, and that's 3/4 cup, with whatever nuts you would like to have of your choice, and put that to the side. And then you want to have, like, tall glasses. You want to put a mini brownie in each of the 6 tall glasses. Top it with 1/2 of the banana slices, and then layer each with 1 heaping tablespoon of caramel nut mixture, 1/3 cup of ice cream, another piece of brownie, and then the remaining banana slices. And then, of course, if you love that whipped cream, top it with about 3 tablespoons or however much you like on top of that, and then drizzle the remaining caramel nut mixture over the top of the 6 glasses. And, of course, you're going to top it with a maraschino cherry. Now, how can you beat that? Easy, easy, easy. Oh, is it going to taste good? And sometimes people like chocolate ice cream, whatever you want. Just remember, it takes a pint, and that's for about 6 servings. But, oh, it's so good and so yummy, and just will absolutely be fabulous on a hot summer day. Well, I had a gentleman, Robert Simmons. He is so knowledgeable about gemstones. And by the way, if you want to call me, 877-876-5227. Now, Robert has the most marvelous book on stones. And believe me, this thing you could use as a weight for weightlifting. It's just amazingly large. But he has so many unique stones that most of us don't even think about. We're not even aware of it. But he does something different. Robert has been a man that has done a lot of research with stones, and so he gives information. And I thought I would talk about a magnificently gorgeous stone called Azurite, A-Z-U-R-I-T-E. Now, this stone is associated with insight, vision, intuition, and intellect. And it is especially associated with the third eye, which is in your seventh chakra. Okay, now this is a mineral, that a copper carbonate mineral that is fairly hard, and its name is derived from the deep azure blue color. And it is just absolutely fabulous. And Robert tells a story about this stone. He said, "No stone is a pure embodiment of the blue ray than Azurite, and its rich dark blue color carries the exact frequency of the third eye chakra and is a natural tool for the activation of that energy center. It's a stone of inner vision and can be used for the enhancement of dreams as well as the development of your own psychic abilities. It stimulates intellect as well as intuition, and it's wonderful to have if you're studying new or challenging subjects. In fact, it's recommended that anyone who is a student, in whatever level that might be, that you carry or wear Azurite to aid you in the assimilation and retention of new information and ideas. And it also facilitates the agility of mind that is required to make the big leaps. We were talking about that earlier in the hour. If you wanted to make changes in your life, you have to be willing to learn new things. So it's just absolutely a fabulous, fabulous stone. And it's absolutely amazing how each stone that he goes through has its own particular meaning. And he's done a lot of research into this. And again, it is just amazing. I've used the word again, amazing, because to me it is. I can't imagine anyone going to this much effort, but I'm so glad they do. Aren't you? Aren't you glad there are people out there that are willing to take the time and make the effort in finding out information? And some of this information goes back for so many, many years. Every culture has its understanding and its own history and its own set of beliefs. And each and every one has something to offer. And I think that's what makes the world such an exciting place. What do you think? I know one time I had someone say to me, "I really think that in America you have too many products on the shelf." And I was so surprised, and I asked them why. They said, "Well, then you have to think about what you're going to use, what you're going to choose. It'd be so much easier and better if you only had two or three." And my response to that was, "I'm so glad I don't have just two or three, but that I have a multitude of choices, because that enables me to find what's going to work for me as an individual, and that's the same thing for you." Well, as you go about your day, remember, your individuality counts, but you're also part of this wonderful experience of life. You're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be coming back with you tomorrow right here on bbsradio.com. Be sure to tell your friends. Invite them to join us every afternoon, same time, same place. And don't forget, if there's an adventure out there waiting for you, reach for it. It might bring you wealth beyond your dreams. Bye for now. Talk to you tomorrow.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.